What's up, everybody? I'm Zane.
And this is Ant.
And welcome to Clock Turning, the podcast for everything flag football and flag football officials, hosted by refs from all over the country. Joining us today are two refs from North Carolina. We have Pat Spence and Jordan Calicut.
What up, though?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
So, first question of the day is, how did y'all get into flag football? It's such a unusual sport to start to ref, let alone to play. But I'm curious to know how both y'all got into reffing.
Pat. Go ahead, Joy.
So originally, it's like 2008. And a couple of buddies of mine were like, hey, man, we're playing up here in this random league. Well, what I thought was a random league. And, so we go up there and we get just destroyed, honestly. My ego was hurt. My pride was just out the window. It was terrible. I was like, oh, these boys are legit. I had no idea. And then after that is when I really saw the game of flag football for what it was and how fun and interesting it was. And then just the dynamic of just – it was just a group of people that came together to enjoy this, unorthodox sport that has grown to what it is today. It's just it's just an amazing thing to watch to grow from where it was to where it is.
Now, that's how you got into playing. Now, how did you get into reffing?
I got into reffing I guess multiple reasons. The league that I was playing at the time didn't really have any refs to go out and do it. And I was on a few teams, but I wasn't really like interested in playing. And then I got hurt. So when I got hurt, the guys who actually ran the league reached out to me and they were like, have you ever thought about, do you want to ref? And I was just like, I have no idea. But looking back now, It was fantastic. They showed me the money then, and as a single parent at the time, I was like, I'm gonna make this much money, this much cash on a Saturday. I'm in. Perfect. That was good call. No problem. I mean, literally, I was using that money to put gas in my tank and buy diapers.
Okay.
What was the injury, Jordan?
Do it now.
What was the injury?
I got kicked in the shin hard, and then even to this day, I now have I have arthritis in one toe. I am such an old man. Yeah, and wearing my ref shoes, it does not hurt my feet. Me in cleats, I almost cry. It is terrible. I said I'm such an old man.
How about you, Pat?
Well, I got into this game of football at the age of 10 before I was playing flag football down in Florida. And also when it came down to playing tackle football at the same time, that's when it became my true love outside of basketball. But around the age of 17, working at the Parks and Recreation is where I got into the refereeing because I had to learn being a counselor. You have to referee like the kid games and all that stuff. And once I moved from Florida and moved up to North Carolina and joined the Army, it got reintroduced back to me, the game of flag football. And once I got reintroduced to it, it was just nonstop from there. Up in Alaska for 6 years, just playing ball, deploying in Afghanistan, Africa, and also in Iraq, just playing the game for fun, No money, no anything but shirts and a medal. And that was it. And then when I moved back to North Carolina, I got introduced to the travel thing as far as traveling around playing flag football. And I didn't know how it was. As a good player, on a military installation, you're probably like one of the best ones out of that group. But once you get out and you see all these guys that's from college and, that's been playing the game of flag football, it was one of those eye-openers, and especially coming to what I think it was called Top Gun at that time. That's when I got into up in the Camel City area and then moved to the DMV, FFL, and played up there for about 4 years. And that's when, you know, everything really happened. And I fell in love with the game of flag football and seeing how it was. And I was like, hey, now it's that time to start transitioning.
So I know that you played flag football for a couple of years before you started reffing. What was the moment you were like, I want to try to ref the game that I love?
When he met me and I became his hero.
Well, before I met Jordan, when I wanted to start reffing, I started reffing in Alaska. That was when I first started because I wanted to see how can I improve the game on things that, as a player, I didn't like. And a lot of referees was too lazy to see. So that's when I got into refereeing around like 2010, 2011. But I didn't really start my focus until about around 2019 as I got older and I wanted to start transitioning to the same principle, making the game better and keeping the game, keeping everybody responsible. And then also giving some referees, you know, a little headaches as a mm-hmm. player, but also learn from some of these good referees as well.
Well, is there a story behind that? Where did you guys cross paths, Jordan and Pat?
So we crossed paths in 2019. Well, 2019, I just moved back from the DMV FFL, and I was used to playing up there as far as that's when I was playing defense a lot, and it was full contact with me. You body up. And out of the blue, I used to just do certain things, and I would just try and rub Jordan the wrong way just to piss him off. And he used to swear I hated him. Like, and I told Jacob, I said, don't ever tell him that he's cool. But I just want to give him hell, see if his beard fall out. But that was really it, man. I used to bother him. Then one day I just was like, you know what? Let me go and tell him that I've been joking the whole time, man. I appreciate everything he's been doing. He's a cool dude. And then we had the draft tournament. And he was like, hey, Pat, you score a touchdown, you get a shot. Say less. And that was it from there.
Man, I'm telling you, the fanny pack is full of airplane bottles every draft tournament. Man, Camel City regular season. Camel City regular season, I don't like anybody. You can't like every, you know what I'm saying? I have to hate it. I have to hate everyone across the board. Be like, I have no favorites. But when it comes to the draft tournament, teams don't matter. You know, you're just out there playing just to play. So at that point, I love everybody. I'm like, listen, you score a touchdown, you intercept the ball, you make a great diving flag pull. Whatever you do, if you think it's spectacular, come see me. The only way you know that it was spectacular is that if I hand you an airplane bottle.
And that is the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So Pat, I first and foremost, thank you for your service. And I just want to, ask you, since, this is pretty unique to that, which experience as far as playing flag football in the military is most memorable to you?
I would say because of the beginning and the competition. Originally it was in Anchorage, Alaska, because there was a lot of competition at that time up in Fort Richardson. But when I came to Fort Bragg, and you have nothing but, I say you probably have about 40 to 50 teams, and the playoffs is crazy, and you have nothing but competition. I would say Fort Liberty now, aka used to be Fort Bragg, was the most competition when it came into the game of flag football. Most of those teams, it was actually two teams off of Fort Liberty that was travel teams and played rec. And actually, you know, I was on one of them. And so, yeah, it was most definitely Fort Liberty at that time.
So, and my question, I say, we've heard from Jordan and Pat, and I kind of knew a little bit of their backstory, but I've never heard the story about how you got into flag football and how you got into reffing.
I was born and raised in Colorado, and the season for football is pretty small. There's not a lot of turf fields out there and everything like that. So I grew up not playing flag football. We basically just had tackle football with no pads, and that's what our leagues and stuff like that looked like. But about in 2015, I started working with teenagers that were in the justice system, coming in and out of probation or out of juvenile prisons, things like that. And I just saw this gap in the system where there are these kids that were athletes. They loved to play basketball, football, all this stuff, but they would walk into school, and because they, you know, couldn't piss clean, or they had an ankle monitor on, they couldn't play any sports. So I was mentoring these kids, and I just wanted to provide them with an opportunity to be able to play sports. So I would load up a van, you know, full of these kids, and we would come out on a Saturday, and I would call a bunch of my friends up and say, you know, come out too, and let's play some flag football. And it was just like an organic way to have mentoring, to, you know, give back to the community. We started raising money for families in need. You know, ended up having some amazing tournaments where we'd have, you know, close to 20 teams. I never charged a set player fee or team fee. And not only would I play, I was the main ref since I was the director of it. So that's how I started studying the rule book and learning the rules. Cause I just defaulted to the national rule book. I didn't know any better. And so that was really how I got into learning rules. It was just something that I really enjoyed. And then also it was like, you know, you have a situation, a fight or something like that. It was a good teaching moment for these teenagers. So that was a really, that was an amazing experience for me. COVID hit, and unfortunately that really just kind of shut things down, as far as my organization went. But then I started playing more serious. I started traveling, got really, really involved in running my own team. And then I got injured. Just that's why I had to ask Jordan what your injury was. My injury was at Cowboys Stadium, the tournament out there. And I was going in. I went in for a sack, got the sack, and the next play I was going in to get the safety, and I planted, and my entire body went forward, and my knee did not. So I had 12 injuries in my knee. I still don't have an ACL in my left knee. I needed like 3 surgeries to take care of that. So that definitely took me out of playing. And then just the last couple of years, I just wanted to give reffing, just like I gave playing, you know, a shot, and really wanted to take it serious. I wanted to do the same with reffing. Moved my family out to California, about a year and a half ago, and was able to just get plugged into all the leagues and tournaments, and I love it. It's a great experience. Again, just like Jordan, being a single father, this is how I put gas in the tank and provide for my kids. So it's important to me.
That's awesome. I say I loved every bit of that story.
How about you, Zane? What's your backstory?
So my backstory starts a lot sooner, or a lot earlier than all of y'all, since I am the youngin'. So I've been in reffing for about, I think I'm going into my third year now. One day, Jordan hit me up and was like, "Hey man, you want to go ref flag football with me?" I was like, "Where?" He was like, "Up here in Winston." I was like, "Sure, I'll give it a shot." But little did I know what I was getting myself into.
Tell him, Pat.
Boy, you got the hot fire quick.
I will say, one of the worst formats that you can start out in is contact. It's even worse when you get put into a Camel City League and everybody's coming for your throat. But I mean,
SEC mentality, baby.
But honestly, I am so thankful for Jordan for getting me started, Pat for talking shit with me being day one as a ref, and Camel City for building my character and not letting these players at other tournaments actually bother me whatsoever.
That's fantastic.
Right. One thing I can tell you, Zane, compared to a lot of other people, you and your brother got some tough skin, boy, because I sure used to try and peel the layers back on that onion. And I don't think I ever was disrespectful. I just think I just used to try and push a button to see if I could catch your attention. But yeah, and I always say, if you could take my issues, yeah, I think you was ready.
There you go. Speaking of disrespectful and controversy that comes from being a ref, you know, let's move on to that next topic.
Yeah. So, as a ref, I say I would like to do two different topics on this one, since all of us have refed contact and non-contact. What is a controversial call, let's say in non-contact, that always comes up and everyone always complains about?
Pat. I could take non-contact first. When it comes to non-contact, I was saying Pete in the Russia. That is one of the biggest ones as far as controversial, due to the location of the referee. If you only have two referees on that field and no contact, it's almost impossible to have that vision as the line judge to see an impede and a rusher unless contact is made. And that's one of the areas where you always want to, I would say, ask for help from your back judge and have them or your 7-yard marker for the rush line referee to watch that lane before they move. Because from the line, you would never be able to catch that one. Like, it is very controversial because from your view, it's a side view. You don't see them alter. But if you're standing behind them or you're standing in front of them, you can see everything. And that's why it's always very important to have a referee, a line judge, and then a back judge. So,
yeah. Let me ask you this, Pat, going, best case scenario, you're behind the quarterback. What are you looking for as far as impeding the rush goes?
My first thing I'm looking for, change of direction on the rusher. But the second thing, I'm also looking to see if the line is closed. So the line is closed. Majority of the time, I give them the courtesy of saying, hey, the lane is closed. Must go and rush from the outside or the opposite side. But if they choose to, rush down that lane and the lane is closed, it's illegal contact on the defense. But so some people can get it confused when they think, the lane open and I can run right down the middle. No, the lane was closed. You gave away your right of way if you didn't take the outside lane. So it's one of those rules where it's better explained than I would say, tell them, hey, this is what you did right or wrong. But it's one of those explanations that you'll want to tell the coach or that rusher when they come off the field. So it's tough.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think communication is key in general with being a ref. The more you can communicate. But, just like our podcast, the name of our podcast, the clock stays running. And that's how it goes, and so if they want to complain and take all this time, unfortunately they're using up their clock. But I do think that, if you, just like you said, those key words, there's a lane open, there's no lane, all of that stuff. I think that helps clear up the controversy. Anything else on impeding the rusher?
As far as with impeding the rusher, I mean, one thing that most rushers don't know, the center has that rules to stand his ground. The center can stand right in the middle and don't move. Long as that center doesn't cross as far as the direction of that that rusher, is not an impeding the rusher. But if the center stays directly in the middle and the rusher runs into the center and the quarterback rolls to the side, but the center never moved, it's not an impeding the rusher. The center is allowed to stand his ground. He's the only player, well, she's the only player that can have that rule of standing their ground. And that's when it becomes illegal contact on defense because the defense needs to avoid the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always liked to present it as basically the center is its own bunch. And so you got to avoid that bunch as well.
And then a lot of times what the rusher may not realize is that as soon as the quarterback rolls, the rusher cannot roll with them until they get to that line of scrimmage. A lot of times they'll go through a bunch and they'll initiate the contact thinking that they're going to get the impeding call whenever they're the ones who rolled with the quarterback. As soon as you roll, you lose your lane to the quarterback. And that's when you get your illegal contact on defense call.
That is true.
For sure. Jordan, any thoughts on impeding the rush you want to add?
No, honestly, I agree. I agree with everything that was said. I think that impeding the rush was the hardest call for me to figure out. For me going from a contact-only referee where I have ref contact for, you know, 8 of my 11 years as a ref, 8 years as contact, and then all of a sudden – you know, a buddy of mine was like, come travel with us and learn non-contact. And the first time that I was ever that it happened. And, you know, so like my trainer guy was like right behind me. He goes, that's impeding. I'm like, why? That guy is, you know, he can't take it. He's a pansy. And he was like, that might be true, but it's still a penalty. I'm like, well, I don't like that. He's like, welcome to non-contact. I'm like, bro, this sucks. You know, somebody, you know what I'm saying? I want to see the physicality. You know, blow that man up. And they're like, you can't do that. This is non-contact. I'm like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot. And then now, finally, I am very, very confident. Contact, non-contact, does not matter. Yeah, which I view non-contact now as a – That division by itself is about finesse. I know that my big ass couldn't do it. Oh yeah, dude. Listen, you know how hard it is to stop all this body from moving. I'm gonna hit somebody. It's going to happen. Not if. Okay. So that's the issue.
I will say, speaking of the man that got you involved, welcome, Jacob.
Hey guys,
good to see you.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
We were just going.
Hey, Jacob.
I got you. We were just going over a controversial call in non-contact.
Okay.
So we said impeding the rush is probably the number one controversial call in non-contact.
The biggest call you have in the game. I agree.
Yeah. I say, and we were just given stories about how we got introduced to impeding the rusher and how Jordan sucks at non-contact football.
I used to be, honestly. I'm good now.
I was gonna say, man, it's definitely something that it takes time to realize and understand. And to be honest with you, like I feel like I've got it down and I still don't completely, you know, because it's absolutely your judgment whether a person's movement made somebody else do something. You don't know what's in that mind and you have to make that decision basically in a split second. So it's not fun at all. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most football thing you have to watch in flag football if you think about it. So
I heard you say the word judgment call. Does that mean that it could be protested?
No, not at all.
Okay, just wondering.
referee's judgment. There's no such thing as a protest with a judgment call.
Gotcha. Just checking.
Our first topic was how everyone got into flag football and how everyone got into reffing. Okay. Now, were you ever a ref before you started Camel City?
Yeah, so I started in baseball. I started when I was 14 umpiring. Worked for USSSA doing youth baseball. As I got older, did baseball, basketball, a little bit of tackle football. And then, with flag football, kind of being a league director, got kind of not necessarily forced into refereeing, but, you know, when the situation arises where you kind of got to jump in, you don't really have a choice. And going to work for USA Flag, I kind of, again, you know, the situation arose for me to kind of hop in and be a referee director. And I've kind of embraced that and kind of ran with it. So that's a little bit of my background with it.
So how long have you been? Let me rephrase that. How long has it been since you started Camel City?
So I started Camel City started in 2018. We went 2018 just doing local stuff in Winston-Salem. 2019 started working with Five Man Contact and working with the travel teams. And then 2020 is when Krista came on as a partner. We had a few others come in and out, but Krista came in at 2020. She's been helping steer the ship ever since. And we've been going now. This is year six of a 5-year plan. So.
Okay. 5 years strong.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm with you.
You got a lot of experience, Jacob, with contact. So as far as contact goes, what's the most controversial call that you see happen all the time?
Honestly, it's holding. So again, it's something that happens at the line of scrimmage, and it's the when. It's the probably the most difficult call to get as an offensive player or as a defensive player, get a holding call on offense. But it is the most it's the most critical because, I mean, you have a lot of movement at the line of scrimmage. You have a lot going on. You would think with five man, you know, maybe one blocker, but usually there's two or three, just depending. And it's pretty tough to be able to see as well because a lot of times contact, you know, take Camel City, for instance, a lot of times I run two-man crews here. So you got a guy on the line and you got a back judge. Your line of scrimmage has got to watch all of that. Plus they've got to watch the quarterback, make sure they don't get hit. So to me, that's probably the most controversial because you'll hear, you know, hey, I got hit in the face. I got, you know, hands to the neck. I got twisted. I got turned. And you got the referee supposed to be able to, you know, their eyes are supposed to be, you know, basically going four different ways.
So, like a chameleon. They're exactly. Pulling out chameleon eyeballs.
Yep. So I think that's the biggest, that's the most controversial in my opinion.
See, that's one thing I had to learn fast when it came to Camel City and contact was one was holding and two was if you're on the line, let him play. Unless it is a flagrant hands to the face or if your arm is across their body, restricting them to get to the quarterback, there's not going to be a lot of times where I'm going to throw a flag. Because if you're on the line, you're on that line for a reason.
Yep. Yep, absolutely, man. It's tough because you want to let them play and you don't want to be the person that throws a penalty flag every play because in the reality of it, this is a recreation sport. You could throw your penalty flag every play and find something. Mm-hmm. But you want to let these guys play. You want to keep the game moving. You don't want to be a factor of the game. And I think a lot of times people want every call or they want it until they have it. And I think that's kind of the, that's kind of the caveat to it. Mm-hmm. So,
which I mean, that's what I always tell my captains at the very beginning of a game. I'm like, hey, fellas, especially in contact. I'm like, hey, fellas, my main goal is to let y'all play your game. I do not want to get involved. Please do not make me get involved. Because as soon as they get rowdy, that's when I have to throw more flags, take control of the situation, and de-escalate everything. Mm-hmm. I'd rather let them play their game, no flags, nothing. But there's always a team or there's always a player who normally takes it to that next step. And I'm like, all right, well, you lost your chance.
Yep.
You always got to remind them the clock is still running.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Clock's always running.
We don't stop that clock. So what else have we been talking about tonight, guys?
Oh, Ant, you're muted. Can't hear you.
Ant look like he's frozen. He's like a barbarian right now.
There you go. He's moving around.
Yeah, now he's moving.
You see the lights behind him.
Before the controversy and before that, it was just how everyone got introduced to flag football. Pat was telling his backstory. Ant told us his. Jordan's a bitch, so. You know, and then me, of course, I mean, since I am the youngin' and I'm so new to all this, mine was very short and simple.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still throwing – we kind of threw you to the fire.
That's exactly what I said.
We threw you to the fire.
We guess.
Which that's what I said. I was yep. like, coming into reffing, one of the hardest formats to ref is contact. And I was like, one of the hardest leagues to ref is Camel City. So it was just a double homicide right there.
Yeah, you good though.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it makes you better.
Zane, one thing I made a post earlier on my Facebook. I don't know if I tagged Camel City, but it was one of those after reviewing, I watched all the film of all the games this weekend. And I was like, man, I would literally need chameleon eyes to see everything that I saw on video today when I watched the film. I was like, damn, everybody got held. Everybody was holding offense and defense. As far as some plays, you know, it was controversial due to where you're standing at. I mean, flag guards from crazy. Like, you can never see from the angles that you're at because you're running with them. So it was like, man, I missed a lot. But guess what? We got the games in with no altercations, no fights, no nothing. So overall, I was like, man, okay, I did a good job, you know, in my eyes, because you can't see everything, but you can't call everything either because – one that's going to kill the game, it's going to slow down the game, and people are going to say the referees are the deciding factor, which we didn't have to hear that this weekend either. Yep. So, besides, everybody hates one individual, but his name ain't Chris, but it starts with a K. But hey, overall, I would say the weekend, and as we talked about it, was a great experience. So,
It was fun to watch Robert learn. Robert's, you know, for those, Robert's one of our newer officials, man. Pat will tell you, I think it was probably like the fourth or fifth game. He had a call on the sideline. guy toe taps, catches it. It goes out. He's about 1 yard out short of it. And he signals him incomplete, says he was out. And everybody on the sideline, they erupted, whether they were on the team or not. And he said over there, he stuck to his guns with it. I was like, okay, you know. Like, we came together at halftime, and I said, what'd you see? And he said, man, I fucked that one up.
He gave the wrong signal. He gave the wrong signal.
Exactly. What he was trying to say was he was down at the one. But, man, once he signaled that he was out, it was like, oh, man, that's it. You can't go back on it. So, he, you know, I told him, I said, it's all right. I said, you're going to, you know, it happens. You know, and it didn't cost that team that game because they, you know, they couldn't score anyways. But yeah, man, when stuff like that happens, it's fun. It's fun to watch somebody like register and click. And this guy, he's been playing for
yeah
a long time.
We were teammates, so yeah.
Yeah, we were teammates. I remember him back in the day. Jordan, I know, does as well. You know, he was around forever, and he just, you know, to see he's come to this side. Pat said it best when he first got there. He said, "We're gonna find out who your friends are," and he learned real quick.
Yeah, I told him, I was like, "Hey, Rob, bro, you gonna find out who's your friends and who's not your friends. You just had some drinks with them friends in January, but you're about to find out in February who is really your friends."
But he did good overall. He needs more repetition, and you know that's just with anybody. Like I need more reps. You know, everybody, you know, at the end of the day should want more reps to get better. But it was really fun to watch. I'm curious to see how he does, you know, this coming week and how he responds from how he what he did and what he learned and how he applies it. So
I'm about to say we have all definitely been there where it's like, oh, I definitely fucked that one up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't relate. So,
So was that before or after you almost got fired last year at Worlds?
First of all, look, now that we're here, we all realize that it was just a joke being put on me. So I'm okay with it. You know.
Oh man, that was fun.
That was not fun. I told Jacob immediately. I said, "Bro, if I'm getting fired, I am not starting this game. If you make me start this game and fire me, I promise you, we're gonna fight." He was like, "Go start the game. Start your game, and I can get you." I was like, "All right, cool."
No, best thing was I remember hearing Jacob talking to someone about like playing the joke on you. He looks over at me and says, "Don't you say a word." Yes, sir. My mouth is closed.
And do you know what happened at Worlds last year?
Did we talk about yeah.
With Mr. B.I.G.?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it.
Hey, do not give me the opportunity, man. Listen, if you open the door, trust me, I'm going to like Elton John that thing. I'm going to come out flamboyantly as I possibly can. But I think...
Oh, that's awesome.
We got to save that story for another time. Let's move on to that next topic, Zane.
All right, yeah. There you go.
So our next topic of the night, or our last topic of the night, is what everyone has next and where everyone will be next week. Or this weekend, I'm sorry. So, Pat, we're going to be at this weekend.
Well, I'll be in Camel City again this weekend.
Mama City.
Don't get them started. Don't get them started. But no, I'll be in Camel City. I'm locked and loaded, ready to rock and roll. And like I told you, we have some pretty good teams coming down from up north on the East Coast in a different league. Some of them are defending league champs, and some of them are defending national champs from this past year. So we're gonna see how it coexists with the SEC. I call them the Big Ten since that's where they're coming from. So we're gonna see who's Michigan and who could deal with Alabama and all those guys down here.
Okay. Jordan, where are you gonna be at?
Same place, Camel City this weekend. Next travel circuit will be Miami.
Okay, I will say, Pat, are you going to Miami as well? Or
I will not. That is the wife's birthday, and I will not take that.
Hey, buddy,
I will not take that invitation.
Hey, yeah, Jordan, what are you looking forward to this next weekend?
Oh, man, dude, Camel City, it will always have a special place in my heart. I ref Camel City differently than any other time that I ref. Honestly, it is if you were here and you watched me ref, you would understand. Ref in Camel City is not like I do anywhere else. I hold these boys to higher standards, and when they get their panties in a bunch, I laugh at them, and it does not bother me.
I'll say Jacob.
Jacob, anything you looking forward to in particular this weekend at Camel City?
Oh, you know, just you know, hanging with these three. Yeah, man, we got another slate of good games. There's some new teams that are coming in. Like Pat said, both from the DMV, and we got some new teams from North Carolina too. That are, I think, a couple of them play this weekend. I'm kind of curious to see how they play out. And, just another weekend, man, just to grow and get better. So, kind of curious to see how that goes.
Yes, indeed.
I couldn't imagine you not being able to ref league play for the best league in the country. Hopefully, one day you can come experience the awesomeness that is Camo City. And how no one else even comes close to being this high caliber of a league. So
what if we flew Ann in for the playoffs,
bro? You know I'm in.
You got my vote.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
I'm there. Well, why is that even a question?
Yeah, this is fantastic. We'll give Robert Ant, and we'll see what happens.
Huh?
I said we can give Ant to Robert and see what happens.
Yeah. We'll have to run three fields for the playoffs.
Oh yeah, we're gonna need
it. Let's go.
It's supposed to be double elimination, so
mm-hmm.
Not looking forward to that, but hey.
There we go. I guess I'm the only one not in Camel City this weekend. I'm here in rainy California. On Saturday I have a show. It's called the Showdown Series. Normally a passing league organization, and they've decided to jump into the world of flag football head first. They are basically using just a tier below IFAF rulebook. So I did it a month ago, and basically every player on the field didn't understand that with IFAF rules, non-contact means non-contact. So my flag was it's just stayed on the ground. I don't even think I got it back in my belt at all. So I'll be there on Saturday, again, men's and women's, divisions, and it's fives. But like I said, it's like an IFAF. And then Sunday, there's going to be a draft tournament, women's draft tournament, national rules. It's run by the Tough organization, but they're using USA flag rules. And my daughter's going to be playing in that, so she's hoping to get number one draft pick this in the next couple days, and she's excited for that. So it's always good to just be able to continue to get reps in for the national rule book.
For sure.
Heck yeah.
Hey, real quick, I'm looking back here in my notes, and I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Who had the first draft tournament ever in flag football?
There was ones before mine.
No! I'm saying that was like a legit question. I didn't know if you guys knew about the draft tournament before that. I just know how popular those things have become here in the last few years. I think it's a great idea. It's just how well people are taking it, and how, because I remember 10 years ago people thought about, well, they offered it and they got laughed out of the conversation. Now they're like, it's a mandatory for a league play.
Yeah.
Okay, but Jordan, you said in your notes, I didn't know you knew how to write.
Oh yeah, bro. Now it's chicken scratch and you can't read it, but I can do a little bit of scribbling.
All right, cool. Well, with that, we're gonna wrap up. I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, TZ Customs. If you need cleats for flag football, or for any sport at all, or if you just want your shoes to look completely different 101, you got to hit up TZ Customs. His IG handle's been streaming across the bottom the entire show. And thank you guys so much for coming on tonight. Zane, let's close this out.
All right, fellas. I want to say great stream today. Jacob, Pat, Jordan, I will see all you fellas on Saturday, since I am loved this weekend, unlike last weekend when I got left out. It's cool. I understand. I got kicked to the curb. It's fine, but
Jordan, can we find somebody to replace him before?
Hey, absolutely. Hey, absolutely.
Calm down. I
just fly me out. I'll take his spot.
All right, fellas. But that's it. I hope you have a great night.
Y'all be good.
Yes, sir.